Sunday, October 30th, 2011, bye week.
It's the best blog weekend show. Hop on board, we'll take you where you wanna go. We're heading out to Lakeshore Drive. Football makes us feel so alive. I'm Brett Favre, gonna show you my dick, gonna show you my little white man dick. I'm Brett Favre, gonna show you my prick, gonna show you a photograph of my prick. I'm Brett Favre, gonna show you my dong, do you wanna see a picture of my dong? I'm Brett Favre, hey, do you need a schlong? I got pictures of a schlong I can send you, girl. I'm Brett Favre, this is my dick. You'll notice the dick in this pic that I sent. I'm Brett Favre, I'm the world's biggest prick. I'm the biggest prick in the whole wide world.
You gotta beat these guys. You gotta beat these guys when they come to Chicago in a couple of weeks. Oh, you gotta beat these guys. You gotta beat these couple of guys when they come to Chi-Town, baby. Who are these guys? Pete Carroll's a weirdo. Matt Hasselbeck is old. Andy Reid's a crappy father. Michael Vick kills dogs. Drew Brees, he's got a weird thing on his face, and I'm pretty sure Sean Payton molests children, but I can't prove that. Please don't sue me, Sean Payton's a libel. I can't prove you touch kids.
First you take your cheese, put that cheese up on your head, lay around with your fat, ugly woman in your fat, ugly bed. Now you're doing the Packer dance, looking like an Earl O'Mary in your very short pants. You're doing the Packer dance. Why don't you move to France? The Packer dance.
What? Did you want to hear that again?
Then take your cheese, spread that cheese on your man tits. Lay yourself down with your fat, ugly woman and your fat, stupid kids. You're doing the Packer dance. You smell like Jimmy Smits, but you look like Dennis Franz. You're doing the Packer dance. And you like to make little duties in your pants.
Packer dance.
Thankfully, I'm all out of jokes, but I don't know. Then you take your cheese, use that cheese to lube your hog. Lay yourself down with your fat, ugly woman and your half-retarded dog. You're doing the Packer dance. While you're watching The Legend of Bagger Vance, you're doing the Packer dance. I thought I told your dumb ass to move to France, the Packer dance.
And now a musical preview of Bears versus Vikings, complete with a pick.
Beat Joel, cause his name's Joel, and he's terrible at quarterbacking. You gotta beat Joel if you really wanna be
anybody, and I've seen all. I don't care if the game's played in Indianapolis, or at Annapolis, or in Acropolis. You gotta beat Joe Webb, cause I don't even know what college Joe Webb went to. Did he even go to a college? Or did he do one of those walk-on things like Mark Wahlberg did in that movie about the Eagles? You gotta beat Joe Webb, cause Joe Webb stinks. Well, at least I think he stinks. I gotta be honest, I've never seen Joe Webb play football before. Not even on a street corner or nothing like that. But he's Joe Webb nevertheless. And Joe Webb, you'll never guess, he stinks, but he does. Boy, oh boy, does Joe Webb stink. Bears 34-13.
A greatest hits compilation of songs from last year's weekend shows. Bye week. Nothing to worry about. No Mike Martz play calls to worry about. No odd Jay Cutler interceptions to worry about. Just worry about getting healthy, getting ready for next Monday night when they'll be in Philadelphia to take on Dog Killer and the Eagles. Big game. Be a much bigger game if Philly is to win Sunday night at home against the Dallas Cowboys. I don't like the fact that the Bears have to go on the road for another Monday night game. I think those are very hard games to win. You get very loud crowds in tough situations. But we'll talk about that more as we go into next week. The questions that face the Bears going into the bye week are two simple ones. Will they get Earl Bennett, Gabe Kareemi, and Major Wright back healthy? What will Kareemi's role be on the offensive line? We'll learn that more as we come out of the weekend. And will they get a contract settled for Matt Forte during the bye week, which has been posited by some writers and a lot of fans, that the Bears should use this downtime of the next 5 days where they really can't practice. Part of the new collective bargaining is that you have to take 4 days off in a row on the bye week. So they can't really practice this week. They're not going to be hitting anybody. Will Jerry take this time to settle what the whole football world knows has to get done? He has to give Forte money. He's got to do it before the end of the season. Now, I don't think he can let this go. And if the Bears make the postseason, find himself in a situation where Matt Forte will have the leverage of, I'm not playing the wild card round. Just think about that. Think about a situation wherein Matt Forte could get this team to the postseason and say to Jerry Angelo right after the final week of the season, I'm not going to San Francisco. I'm not going to New Orleans or the Giants or the Eagles or the Cowboys or wherever they might end up having to go. I'm not going. I am not playing the wild card round of this postseason until I have a contract. I got you here. I put you into the playoffs. But I am not going to play this game. See, Forte is going to have a lot more leverage as this season goes on. Because Forte is going to have the ability any week of the season he wants to say, I'm not playing. You know what? I gave you 7 weeks. I gave you 8 weeks. I gave you 9 weeks. All I did was come out here, be a professional, and play well. I'm not playing this week. And the Bears will have no choice. They cannot go into a football game right now without him. He's the entirety of the offense. He's almost 50% of the scoring. He's 50% of the offense. See, I think you are treading on dangerous ground here if you're Jerry Angelo, the longer you let this thing go on. Because at any point, Forte's agent's going to say, you know, you have to win this game against Detroit at home. And they can't win this game without you. You should stay home this week. And we'll show them what they are without you when they've got to go to Marion Barber 25 times. If the only way we're going to get a contract here is to show the Bears what they would be without you. You know, I was not a big fan of giving Forte this huge amount of money before the season. And I was wrong. I have admitted that that was a mistake that Jerry made. He's got to get this deal done. Because I'm telling you, there will come a time this season, and just God forbid it be the postseason, when Forte's just going to walk away and say, no, cut me a check or I ain't playing.
Combined in the picks contest so far, my brothers and I are 38-21-4. 17 games over 500 when you're gambling is pretty damn good. And I gotta be honest, we're pretty damn good.
The picks contest, as always, is sponsored by FisheyeVertigo.com, BackyardBirdhouse.com, and Nicole over there at Crispy Creations. You can get to all those in Google pretty easily. We enter the eighth week of the NFL season. The eighth week, as Mike Francesa would say, in the league where they play for pay.
Picking and we're picking all night, gonna pick and pick and all night, all right. We're gonna make the picks. So John, Jeff, and Chris gonna make the picks. Sometimes the boys going 3-0. Sometimes the boys going to dose and dough. Most of the time we'll be mediocre.
I do everything I can do each week as the champ. I just can't get past John right now. That's okay. My time is coming. I shall be the champion again. I shall not be defeated. But one thing is certain. Chris will end up in the cellar. I make my picks now, as I always do. I'm going to elaborate a little bit more on the picks this week than I have in the past because we've got some time. We have nothing really Bears to talk about now. My first pick is the Cowboys +3 in Philadelphia Sunday night. And there's a lot I like about the Cowboys in this game, so let me go into it. Here's what Andy Reid wants to do on offense. He wants to run the ball a few times, but ultimately he wants to drop his big arm quarterback deep into the pocket and launch the ball down the field to his speedy receivers, to Macklin, to DeSean Jackson, get the ball to Brent Celek when he can over the middle. And here is the flaw in that approach Sunday night. I don't see any way that that Eagle front line can block DeMarcus Ware and Rob Ryan's front seven for Dallas. And if the Eagles can't block your pass rush, they can't get anything going on offense. Second thing I very much like in this game is that the Cowboys seem to be. Now, I don't want to take too much from a Rams blowout, because the Rams are probably the worst team in football, even with the Colts debacle of a week ago. I think the Rams are probably pound for pound the worst team in football. If the Cowboys can play the way they played, if DeMarco Murray is going to be a guy who can run the ball consistently, you can run the ball on the Eagles. It's been their Achilles heel for a decade. And Andy Reid still goes out and signs pass rushers and corners. Andy Reid, I tell you, gets lauded out the ass. He's not that good as a football coach. They are a team you can run on. I think the Cowboys will do that. I think the Cowboys will control the pace of this game. They will then go off to play action and make plays down the field. Nnamdi Asamoah has not been great this year. The other two corners are not great corners. Nnamdi's a great corner, but not playing great. I think if the Eagles are going to have success, they're going to need to get the ball out of Vic's hands quick, into their receivers, go to a screen game. I don't see them doing it. I think the Cowboys win outright in Philly. Cowboys +3 is the first pick. My second pick, well, that's a simple one, folks. Tebow! I'm taking Tim Tebow +3.5 against the Detroit Lions. Not going to joke. As I just yelled Tebow, I had to click on the other page I have open to see what the point spread was. Because I'm going to be honest, I didn't care. I don't care what the point spread was. If you watched Tebow last week, and I was very fortunate to have that on the second TV next to the Bears game, I will tell you, I've never seen a pro quarterback look that terrible for 57 minutes of a football game. And by the way, don't buy into this hype that he was suddenly great in the last few minutes. They needed a diving catch, a brilliant diving catch by Fells over the middle on a throw that was terrible. A terrible throw.
They needed that to save Tebow's day. And the fact that the Dolphins in that game were not in a goal line defense on the two-point conversion when 25 people with me at Josie Woods knew Tebow was running that two-point conversion shows you just how badly coached this current Dolphins team is. I don't think the Lions should lose this game, and to be honest, I don't think they will lose this game, and I'm happy I'm getting that extra half point on the three. But what's turned me off to the Lions as a football team, not the chipper shit, I can't stand that Ndamukong Suh never shuts his mouth while being run over for 100 yards every single week. I can't stand that. But what's turned me off to them as a team is the fact that they don't have a running game. Without Best, they don't have a consistent running game, and I don't believe they're good enough to drop back 40 times in a game and torch you up and down the field. Put in the altitude, put in the Tebow factor, Jesus on his side, give me the Broncos, plus 3.5. Last pick, Chiefs, plus 3.5 at home against the Chargers. Chiefs always play the Chargers well. They always play them well at home. They're on a bit of a run here. They're confident. They got a share of the division lead if they win this game after a horrible start to this season. To have that stake in this game is a huge thing for them. So I think it's a big game for the Chiefs. I do not think the Chargers will recover well from being embarrassed in the second half in New Jersey this past weekend. And add in one of the best home field advantages. They'll be pumped up, prime time. Chiefs plus 3.5. Broncos at home plus 3.5. Cowboys plus 3 on the road. 3 underdogs this week. Eat them with your milk. John's picks.
They don't call it Emerald Wednesday. They don't call it Tanzanite Tuesday. They don't call it Sapphire Saturday. It's Ruby Tuesday. I love the Patriots. I love the Vikings too. I also love the Chargers in my Ruby stew. They have a great salad bar and 2-for-1 drinks. Get your tail over there, or you'll be wearing Sphinx.
I guess that's what happens when you live in Jacksonville, Florida. Chris's picks.
Hey, it's Luke and Owen again. Okay, it's week 8. And we stuck last week going 1-2, and now we're in third place. Well, actually, we didn't suck. Joe Flacco and the Ravens offensive coordinator sucks. Can't beat the Jags, and no Ray Rice. Really? Really? Really?
And the Lions, are you kidding me? They are just the same old crappy Lions. Thank God for the Packers clutching the Rams. Man, those Rams stink. Here are our picks.
Pick number 1. We are giving the Lions one more shot no matter who their quarterback is this week, Stafford or Hill. They beat the Broncos with Tebow by more than 3.5.
Pick number 2. Owen here, and I love the Giants. We are taking them minus 9.5 over the very bad Dolphins. The Giants had 2 weeks to prepare and probably only needed 2 days. The Dolphins coach just sold his home in Florida. Even he doesn't want to be there.
Pick number 3. Saints look great against the crappy Colts. More breeze to Jimmy Graham against this week as the Rams suck again by at least 13.5.
Hi, it's Nate. Take a Giants and a Saints and a Lions.
You got this week, come on.
Hey, you guys doing this again? You better be better this week.
Oh, gotta go, guys.
And the picks this week for week number 8. 9 picks, 9 different teams. I'll take the Chiefs, Cowboys, and Denver Tebows. John takes the Chargers, Patriots, and Vikings. Chris takes the Lions, Giants, and Saints. Remember, you cannot duplicate any of those sets of picks. And please do me a favor below when you list your picks, just list the 3 teams that you want. And then if you're having a conversation in the comments, do that separately. It's tough for me to go and dig out your picks inside of longer comments. So use an individual comment to put your picks down and keep your conversations going. Other than that, a little bit of house cleaning. Reverend's rant often contains foul language and is not intended for children or for a new blight on the unemployment system, Chris Harris.
Once again, I was all set to rail against Lovey and March for their atrocious in-game coaching, focusing on that insane goal line sequence where we decided to throw three times in a fucking row, only for me to open my computer in the morning and discover something that pisses me off even more. This week, it's that the Bears' fucking brain trust decided to release Chris Harris. Now, I'm not going to get involved in the argument over whether or not Chris Harris sucks. People can debate those on the merits. No, this is the indefensible decision to release the man, because whether or not he's still the second team All-Pro he was last year, the fact of it is we are thin as shit at safety, and Lovie Smith has proven that outside his complete inability to identify a decent challenging opportunity and his total fucking failure to control marks, the defining characteristic of his coaching tenure in Chicago is his ADD-like management of the safety position. We've had more than 50 fucking starting safety combinations since 2004. Jesus Christ, that's fucking ludicrous. Think about that. I just finished Perlman's book, and Walter Payton could teach you something about fidelity. I'm constantly having to talk myself out of screaming from March's head because I know that while he's fucking terrible, consistency and offensive scheme is vital for the Bears to get better. But fucking continuity and safety is sure as shit important to not giving up big plays in the lovey doos, and our head coach seems to think he's in pee-wee football where everyone gets a start and a fucking participation ribbon. Lovey, the last time you fucking unloaded Chris Harris, you told us to trust you, and that led to, and I am absolutely breaking the fucking cardinal rule of the blog here, Adam fucking Archuleta. So why the fuck should we trust you when you say that our best chance of winning lies with a safety core of Major Wright, Chris Conte, Brandon Merriweather, and Anthony Walters? I look at that group and see nothing but our best chance of giving a few more 70-yard plays. Fuck you, Lovey. Major Wright is fucking Kevin Payne all over again. An asshole with bad angles and crappy coverage skills who sells out for big hits that don't bring down the opponent. Fuck you, Lovey. Chris Conte has two fucking starts and will inevitably join the ranks of young safeties like Al Afalava, who cost us games as they learn the position and then get jettisoned at the end of the year, so we have to start all over again with some other wet-behind-the-ears rookie. Fuck you, Lovey. Brandon Merriweather, that $3.25 million joke? If you were going to cut any safety, you should have cut him. He's a more expensive Major Wright. And fuck you, Lovey, because who the fuck is Anthony Walters? Finally, and I say this with the deepest of sincerity, fuck you, Lovey. I don't trust you. You've given me no reason to trust you, and I hope Arch fucking Deluxe haunts your goddamn dreams.
That's our show for this week. How about that? How about give us some credit here for journalistic integrity? Me putting that rant on this show, I don't think I've ever disagreed more with one of Dave's rants, but you know what? The Reverend rants and I play it. This is a place of freedom. The Bears Blog Weekend Show stands for freedom. You're going to enjoy these games on Sunday and you're going to drink. Don't turn on your car and drive it where people can be murdered. How hard is that not to do? Is there any place on earth where there's no cabs or, like, no backyard to go sleep in? Don't drink and drive!
It's the Bears Blog Weekend Show.